The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Learning to love God. How does this happen? When I'm persisting in sin, does that mean I don't love God? But what if the sin bothers my conscience? I hate the sin. Does this mean I do love God? We thank you, friend, for joining us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org. We hope you will go there and look at all that is there, but we're emphasizing today our national conference, May the 19th through the 22nd at Camp Copus, and early bird registration runs out at midnight tonight. So be sure and take advantage of this discount. And if you're a first-timer, we waive registration fee altogether because we want you to join us. Find all the information you need at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, we have a number of questions and concerns from Gigi, one of our YouTube viewers. Gigi is asking, how does one learn to love God? I'm trying to believe in faith alone, but don't have any fruits. How can a saved person still want to live in a life of homosexuality and don't really want to stop? Shouldn't I want to prove my love? Shouldn't I say, okay, he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me, so I should follow and obey him?
Well, this is a good question. And by the way, that's the letter G,
yes.
Not G-I-G-I.
No.
We don't know if this is a man or a woman.
We don't
know who it is.
Yes.
I love the question very much. Now, we've spoken on this, and I've written articles on this, that the way in which an LGBTQ person is born again is the way we're all born again by grace through faith apart from works.
Yeah, it's not by stopping homosexuality.
No.
It's not by a liar stopping to lie. It's not
right.
By a thief stopping to steal, right?
Right.
Right.
It doesn't mean that I somehow have to clean up my life or promise to clean up my life or commit my life to Christ or surrender to Christ. That's all the language of what a friend of mine calls commitment salvation, or it's commonly called lordship salvation, but it's ultimately commitment salvation. Although that's well-meaning, it's basically trying to help God out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you don't like the quality of the people in Christianity, well, then why don't we raise the bar?
Right.
Make it harder to get in. Well, that's nuts,
yeah.
Because you can't get in at all unless it's by faith in Christ apart from works. Sounds like Gigi believes that by faith in Christ, he has everlasting life. And if he believes that, and he knows he's secure, then he's a born-again homosexual. However, in his case, assuming it's a man, he seems to have some regrets about that.
Yeah, he's trying to prove it by his fruits, or he keeps going, well, I don't see enough fruit in my life, and shouldn't I want to prove my love to Jesus?
Yeah, now, let me point out that this is not just an issue for the homosexual. This is an issue for the heterosexual. If someone is sexually active, the people who are sexually active and they're unmarried,
mm-hmm.
if they're a homosexual, that's sin. If they're a heterosexual, that's sin. If they're married and they're having sex outside of marriage, that's sin. Any sex except between a man and a woman who are married together is sin. All such sin should be abandoned. But the question that I really like that Gigi asks is, how do we learn to love God? Well, based on Scripture, we get the motivation to love God from looking at His love for us, which is what Gigi is doing. Right?
Right.
Gigi is saying, he loves me, he died for me, he gave me the gift of everlasting. Well, I don't think Gigi quite says that, but it sounds like Gigi is saying he saved me, he's given me everlasting life.
Yeah, shouldn't I say, okay, he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me, so I should follow and obey him?
Right. And there are verses like that. Paul says the love of Christ constrains us. Since he died for us, therefore we ought to love him. John says, we love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. In 1 John 3:16, he says, because he laid down his life for us, therefore we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. One of the things of laying down our lives for the brethren means is we don't take advantage of the brethren. Say, for example, you're a heterosexual. Let's say I'm talking to a young man or woman who's in their early or mid-20s, and they're not married. If they have sex with someone of the opposite sex they're not married to, they're ultimately having sex with somebody that's going to be the marriage partner of somebody else. So they're actually robbing that somebody else of something that should be only for them. Ultimately, all the studies I've seen shows that instead of making them a better candidate for marriage, it makes them a worse candidate for marriage. It makes them less likely to be content within their marriage. Josh McDowell had this Why Wait campaign, and he would talk about the fact that if you wait until marriage, it actually enhances your sex life. It enhances your enjoyment of your spouse. It enhances the probability you'll stay married.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones. Great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
So, in answer to Gigi, your love for Christ is going to come the more you see his love for you in Scripture. The more you meditate on that and dwell on that, then you're going to realize he's not trying to rob me of some joy by keeping me from homosexuality. He's trying to have me experience more joy. It takes believing what the Word of God says to be convinced that's true. But once you're convinced that's true, then you leave the spiritual far country. Like the prodigal son, we're not told exactly what he was doing in Luke 15 when he went to the far country. His older brother says he squandered his income on harlots, on prostitutes. Maybe. The young man doesn't confess to that, and Luke doesn't actually tell us that. But Luke does say he squandered his inheritance on prodigal living. So the idea probably is that he was probably buying drinks for people, probably involved in drinking and partying, and maybe he was involved in immorality. And he had some joy in those things. But then he hit rock bottom. When you hit rock bottom, you realize that God's ways are better than your ways. This path I'm on is not a path that's leading me to joy and fulfillment. The author of Hebrews talks about the passing pleasure of sin. There is a passing pleasure in sin. We can't deny that. But the more someone's involved in sinful behavior, the more it takes to get the same level of joy out of it. The person who gets drunk the first time doesn't take a lot of drinking to do it. But after a while, it takes more and more and more. And guess what? The person is experiencing more negative consequences as time goes on. And eventually, they get to the point where they're ruining the lives of those around them, and they feel miserable about their alcoholism. Well, the same thing's true sexually. You know, there are people within the homosexual community that are monogamous, and it's often presented that that's the norm. That's not the norm. Like in the heterosexual community, the norm is lots of partners, but unlike the heterosexual community, it's not 5 or 10, it's dozens or hundreds. And that lifestyle is not productive. So some homosexuals realize that and they become monogamous within homosexuality. But that's still not what God wants. What God wants them is either to be celibate or to marry someone of the opposite sex. My encouragement is, get in a solid Bible-teaching church. Hear the Word of God taught. You will fall more and more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ as you hear the Word of God taught. Now, a lot of these churches, they're not going to allow you to teach. They might not allow you to participate in the Lord's Supper. In fact, they shouldn't allow you to participate in the Lord's Supper while you're an active homosexual. But they should allow you to attend church. They should allow you to hear the Word of God taught. And over time, as you take in the Word of God, and as the people in the church are loving and caring toward you, you can get to the point where you turn from your behavior, acknowledge that it's wrong, and turn to the Lord. And so I think the real key to the Christian life is what Gigi's talking about here. It's loving God, loving the Lord Jesus Christ for anybody, homosexual, heterosexual, anybody. Yeah. And if we do, then our lives are going to be transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of our minds.
I think Gigi's been kind of sometimes focusing on the wrong thing, trying to say, look, am I really saved? Do I really believe because I've not seen the fruits? But instead, Gigi needs to just believe John 3:16, know that Jesus loves him or her because, you know, he came to the cross, died for her, and has given her or him everlasting life
right.
just by believing it. And focus on Jesus' love, not focus on looking at my works to see I'm saved. It's looking to the Word and believing that.
Yeah, you make a good point. It's not clear to me whether Gigi has assurance or not. But if not, that's step one. So believe John 3:16, John 5:24, Ephesians 2:8-9, Acts 16-1. Believe that. Because that in itself produces love for Christ, right?
Right.
Knowing that I am secure forever, that is tremendously motivating. It produces gratitude. So I'm with you, Mike, and I think the other thing would be if that in turn motivates you to want to learn more about Jesus and more about his will for you, then you will go to a solid Bible-teaching church. And while you're in that church, you're going to grow and you're going to learn. God can and will transform you. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah,
Romans 12:2.
And what you mean by a solid Bible teaching church is a church that has the message clear, not one that's telling you, look at your fruits, Gigi, to see if you're really believing in him or...
The point is, none is righteous, no, not one. Apart from God giving us the gift of everlasting life, we lack the righteousness we need. Christ's righteousness is imputed to us when we believe in Christ, and then we're justified and we are eternally secure. We have everlasting life. So yeah, I agree, Mike. Make sure you know you have everlasting life, then get into a church that teaches that and teaches God's word clearly, and you'll grow over time.
And that will help us keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we hope you have a great weekend, fellowship with other believers in a Bible-teaching church. Come back and join us again on Monday, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.